From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of November 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenor will be here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss the agricultural weather forecast, and Matt Bennett will join us from the farm there in Windsor, Illinois, to talk about the cash grain situation. It'll all happen right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, I've been busy on this Thursday hosting the Illinois Extension Annual Conference, so no update of the commodity markets. And I'm talking with Dan Zwicker a bit earlier in the day. Dan, thanks for joining me early today, and I do appreciate it.
I'm happy to join you early, Todd.
Well, tell me about the market as you see it broadly at this time. She's made a really good run.
It's made a real good run. I think the last time I talked to you last Thursday, we were making new highs, and I think we were getting ready for maybe a little setback of some kind, or maybe we were having the setback when we talked. And I said the key will be if the market then begins to stabilize Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and then regroup and then try to run at the highs that we made last week. Well, we've did that. Now, beans have made higher highs, but corn so far has kind of failed to make higher highs. So corn, when you initially would look at that contract, you would say, red flag, or less, at least a yellow flag, that the market might be getting ready to have a little more period of a consolidation or a corrective decline, you know, maybe going into the end of the month, December deliveries, that kind of thing. Soybeans, since we were able to make a higher high, everything still points higher on that. But you take a look at your technical indicators and everything is definitely in the overbought category. When I look at my cyclical work, we're at the far right side of my timing bands. We maybe got a few more days left of it, maybe to the end of the month. But the my cyclical work would imply that we're going to get some kind of setback, a corrective decline into the middle part of December, you know, give or take a week. Once it starts cracking, if it cracks into mid-December, then you get into the holiday trade, and then it's kind of a sideways affair, choppy sideways, unless something big happens, you know, in South America on the weather front. Now, talking to Wayne Nelson yesterday, and he was asking me some things about the long-term charts, and I thought that would be a good thing here to kind of review. This is a monthly lead futures chart of soybeans, and I switch it over when the contract goes into expiration. So like when the November soybeans hit November 1st, it switches over to the January contract. And now when January futures hit December 31st, then it's going to kick over into the March. So it doesn't mess with the contract prices when it's in expiration. Now, when I look at that chart, and we're going back to the 2012 high that we had up there around 1790 or thereabouts. This week, we reached into the 38% retracement level of that big decline that we had from 12 all the way down here to the 19 low of $8 or thereabouts. Soybeans have a tendency to kind of do 38% retracements and or 62% retracements. There's nothing exact about that, but the default mode, many times, that's what beans retrace. Now, when you get over to corn, corn's kind of a 50% type retracement commodity. So we've traced this, we've retraced 38%. We're knocking on the door of that 2016 high up there around $12 or $12.05 or something like that. So we are entering a point of resistance. Now, if we clear this, especially for the end of the month, and of course we got another 10 days or so or a couple of weeks yet, but if we clear this 38% level and we clear that 16 high, then all of a sudden we're into a major gap area that was left on the way down on 14. And that gap then actually begins to start at 1205. So that'll be the bottom side of the gap. And that's going to be the same thing here as the 16 high. And then you would fill it. The top side of that gap would be 1314. And that was left back in the month of June or July. That left during July when June closed out at 14. So then we'll have that gap at 1205 all the way up to 1314.
That's a big gap.
That's a big gap.
It's 2 days limit up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't take anything to get there.
Does the top end of that gap correspond with 62%, by the way?
Well, not quite. The 50% retracement level isn't quite as important in soybeans, but the 50% retracement level comes in here at 1290 or thereabouts. So we're getting close, 1290 to 1314, which is close enough for government work. Now,
thank you.
Actually, it's closer than government work. Government work.
Now.
Semi truck through that. But that's going to be if we clear 1205, that is what the technicians are going to begin to start talking about, is the big retracement rally back toward that 12 high. And the upside target is going to be to try to go back to that 62% retracement level, which is in that $13 range. Now, whether or not that occurs or not, you know, nobody knows. My guess, things are going to have to change a little bit. We're going to have to see some downward adjustments, maybe in yield, production, stocks reports, something. But that's going to be the January crop report. If we got into weather issues in South America or someplace else, would maybe trigger something like that. I don't see that happening between now and the end of the year. Because I'm more in the camp that we're right on the edge of running out of momentum. Like I said, I think I could give it up until Thanksgiving for some upside momentum, but I think we're going to run out of gas sometime here in late November, and we're going to have a setback or a corrective decline during December, go through the holiday period. Then we'll turn the corner into the new year. We'll wait around for the government report. We'll know a little bit more about the South American crop at that point in time, if there's any major weather issues or if any weather issues have been resolved by then. And then once we get past the January crop report, we put the final nail in the 2020 crop, and we're all looking then toward the 21 crop and farmers' intentions and spring plantings and all that kind of stuff. So, that's what the technicians are going to talk about if we start clearing that 16 high. We're going to talk about some pretty big numbers. If that happens, I mean, corn's going to go along with it because it'll be competing for acres. And it's been a long time since we've talked about competition for acres. But my guess is with this fall rally, we're not going to have any problem with acres. I think just about all the acres will get planted. The only thing that will stop them from getting planted would be maybe a very wet spring or something crazy that would stop a lot of the lowland areas, river bottoms, creek bottoms, and that kind of land not getting planted. But right at the moment, nobody has a real big problem with moisture in the Corn Belt. If anything, people are probably a little worried, things are a little dry. But we'll see what that happens. But at least for right now, I'm in the opinion that the momentum-wise, we're kind of in the final 10 days or 15 days, and then we're going to have a holiday break of some kind, and then we'll take a look at it, what happens after the first of the year.
Hey, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you not next week because that's Thanksgiving, but the following one. I appreciate it.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Have you signed up yet for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits? They're coming up starting Tuesday, December the 1st, just 1 hour on five different dates, Tuesday, Friday, and Tuesday, ending the 15th of December. Your chance to catch up with the ag economist, one of them each day, to talk about what's important from last year and going forward into the coming year. You can find all the details on the Farm Doc Daily website. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, and you can register there as well. Registration is free. More than 600, in fact, nearly 700 have already registered. And we do have a limited number of spaces available. I think that's right. I think we cap out at about 1,000. So if you have not registered yet, right now is the time to do it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look for the IFAS, Illinois Farm Economic Summit, webinar. Mike Tenora now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. He's a T-Storm in Chicago. Thanks so much for being here today. I'd like to start in South America today, Mike, because it's been driving the marketplace there in your hometown, Chicago, for a while now. And it's all about the dryness that's taking place in parts of Brazil. Can you divvy that country up for me just a bit and discuss what you think really has been happening?
Well, it's pretty simple if you just take a big look at everything in Brazil. It hasn't rained a whole lot throughout the springtime, and because of that, planting was delayed earlier in the spring. Now we're looking at a continuation of that pattern. Yes, it did rain a little bit earlier in the week and even yesterday, but as we move forward, we're not going to see a whole lot of rain over the next 7 to 10 days. And that in itself is not that big of a deal, except when you look at it and compare it to the last few weeks and the last few months, and you can easily conclude that it's basically a continuation of the same weather pattern that we've been in. And that same weather pattern has left a lot of the corn and soybean crop drier than normal. And we basically need to start moving into some more frequent rains. Rains are typically widespread and frequent from mid-November all the way through January. But as we move out for the next couple of weeks, we're just going to see pretty much dry weather over the next 7 to 10 days. Then some storms will move back in around December 1st. But after that, we have to start thinking more and more about this, because if that were to repeat again over the next 2 weeks after that into mid-December, now all of a sudden you're starting to have some problems because it's been dry. There's not a whole lot of rain coming up, even though, yes, it will rain. And then we move into another period like that, and that's how you start to really start to think more and more about it. So in the end, it's a pretty simple formula. We need a lot of rain in Brazil. We have some rain coming up, but it's not going to be enough to wipe out this dryness story. So we're going to be talking about this beyond Thanksgiving.
So we know that the Center West Mato Grosso is the primary growing region for soybean, first crop that is, for sure, and second crop as well, maybe some corn from that area. And then the southern parts of that nation, Mato Grosso do Sul, some of the other states play an important role, but not as important. Does it differ very much from one area to the other?
Well, not so much, and that's what's unusual about this, because the areas that you just mentioned encompass a very large area. If you look at Mato Grosso and the northern growing areas of Brazil and compare that to Rio Grande do Sul, that would be like going from the tip of North Dakota to the tip of Texas. And so it's unusual to see all of that area dry, because typically with such a long and wide area like that, one area would get some rain, one area might be dry, and they would kind of offset each other. But to this point, most of these areas have been a lot drier than normal. We did see some rain in Mato Grosso over the last 2 days, and that eased the situation just a little bit. But Mato Grosso normally receives about 3 to 3.5 inches of rain every 2 weeks at this time of the year, and parts of the state receive even more than that. And if you go next door to Mato Grosso in Goiás, that state averages about 5 inches of rain every 2 weeks in November and in December. And we're looking for rainfall that's nowhere near those types of numbers. And that's kind of where this concern comes up. And this is also where the concern is a little bit unusual, because you might just look at a computer model and say, oh, well, look, there's 2-3 inches of rain coming up for Goiás. That's no problem for them. But then you realize that they need about 5 inches to keep up with normal. You start thinking back into the past and how there wasn't a whole lot of rain leading into this period. And you keep having the same story come up, which is that, yes, it is raining, but it's not enough to wipe out the dryness story. And back into Paraná and Rio Grande do Sul, where you were talking about, it's the same story there. Rio Grande do Sul has managed to miss out on all the rains this week, and the next chance for rain is at least a week out, and more than likely just a little bit beyond them. Let's say they get 1 to 2 inches of rain in 10 days from now. Is that going to be enough to end this story in Rio Grande do Sul? No, because they should be getting more than that amount over the next 10 to 14 days in a normal situation. So this just kind of puts it all in perspective, which is where it is raining. It's not a total wipeout drought like you might see in the U.S. where it just doesn't rain at all, but it's also not a normal situation.
Is there anything different in Paraguay, Uruguay, and into Argentina?
Well, in Paraguay, they've been getting a little bit more rain, so it hasn't been quite as dry, though they bump up to Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul, so the story is a little bit the same, but just not quite as pronounced. In Argentina, it's been a little bit different in that they've also been pretty dry, but they saw some decent rain spaced out about every 10 to 15 days. And they're planting now in Argentina. And so even though it is a little bit dry, depending on how you look at it, they've been getting just enough rain to allow for planting to advance, and probably advance pretty rapidly since it's not all that wet. They will see some thunderstorms next week, and then a little bit drier after that again. But the story in Argentina is pretty much one of where we're just getting enough rain to keep this story at bay. But if it were to change to a drier scenario, we would start thinking more about it. But at this point, we're just kind of watching it.
Here in the United States, and you made a geographical reference to this as to the size of Brazil's growing region from kind of from Texas to North Dakota, and that being dry, Texas to North Dakota in the United States also happens to be pretty dry, especially outside of the Red River Valley going into the western part of North Dakota as it transitions to the northern plains and through South Dakota, Nebraska, Colorado, parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and into Texas. Can you tell me about conditions for hard red winter wheat in those areas?
Well, the story there is pretty much the same as it has been, which is where we've been getting a little bit of rain over the last few weeks, but because of the lack of rain we saw from about the second week of September through the third week of October, it's just too dry. And this encompasses the key states of Nebraska, Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. And so we need to see more rain in these states. And you might argue that, well, Oklahoma saw some decent rainfall several weeks ago, so even if we take them out of the story, it really doesn't change it a whole lot. And the story is that we need rain in the plains before winter starts, with most of the dryness centered on the northern half of Kansas into Colorado and Nebraska, and then sporadically spread throughout the plains from there. There is going to be some rain this weekend in Kansas and Oklahoma, and probably even into parts of Texas. But it's not going to be enough to wipe out agricultural drought. We'll see another system move through next week around Tuesday, and maybe even another one a few days after that. But even between all of those events, we think that most of the rain with each one of them will actually focus further to the east in the Corn Belt and the Mid-South. And because of that, the soft red winter wheat belt will get some decent rains, but most of the hard red winter wheat belt will still be drier than normal once we get out of this 7 to 10 days from now. And if you look at the La Nina setup that we have in place, more than likely they're going to stay drier than normal this winter, and especially in the spring. So we do have some concerns for hard red winter wheat, but we still have 3, 4, 5 months before we have to get really worried about it, because it still is the autumn. We have to get through the winter. And then however we emerge in the spring, that's when things will really start to show up.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great being here. And we'll talk with you in 2 weeks. Have a great Thanksgiving next week.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Matt Bennett is here too. He's from Windsor, Illinois, and with agmarket.net. Matt, thanks for being with us. We've just got a couple of minutes here. Best advice for producers for those that are holding old crop, maybe still in storage, whether it's commercial or at home?
Well, you know, I think that you just got to take a look at what these prices mean to you if you're struggling to make that decision, because if I'd have told you 12, 15 weeks ago that you can, you know, sell corn for pushing $4.50 and sell soybeans for pushing $12, you would have said I was nuts. But, you know, if you compare these prices to where we were at, for instance, the first week of August, the difference in profit margins, you know, on corn is probably around $300 on, you know, 220 bushel corn, and on soybeans, it's around $250 on 70 bushel beans. So you got to pay close attention. I think selling some of those physical bushels is a very smart thing to do. If you want to stay long, do so with a limited risk position.
How do you do that?
Well, just buy a call spread, you know, do something to where if the market goes against you, you're not going to keep dumping money into it. But buy a call, stand alone, they're very expensive. So I like buying a call spread. But bottom line is you just don't want to leave your neck sticking out there too far.
Have you done anything for new crop sales yet?
We got started, definitely. You know, whenever I look at a new crop in that 1050 area on beans and 408 on corn, gee, many Christmas. Those are really good levels to get started at. If nothing else, heck, what would it look like to lock in insurance at those levels? I'd at least take some risk off the table there, but right now I'm about 20% on soybeans and 10% on corn.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find most of our agricultural programming to listen to anytime you desire. Just click and play right from the website or scroll to the bottom of the website and you'll find some of your favorite podcast applications with links to Apple Podcast and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One as well.